Hey, you're listening to The Growth Signal. My name is Alyssa Nolte.
And I'm Catherine Lacefield.
And we're going to get right into it. Catherine, what is your hot take?
Most people do not focus enough on the importance of stewardship, be it for clients or for donors in the nonprofit space. They just are asking, buy now, donate now. And they're not doing anything other than asking for money all the time.
I literally spent at least 45 minutes this morning in my email inbox aggressively unsubscribing to all of the junk emails that I get and the text messages that I get. I am so over constantly being bombarded by political campaigns, by people trying to sell me something, by people asking me for money, for my time, my attention, my email. So yes, I couldn't agree more with your premise, but tell us more about what you mean by stewardship. What does that word mean and how should we think about it?
All right. So I come from a nonprofit background, so I will curate the conversation around if you're in the nonprofit space. But this works as much as an entrepreneur myself. I do the same thing with my own prospects and my own potential clients because I am a for-profit business, even if I support nonprofits. So when I talk about stewardship, I talk about when you're doing your communications, you're not always pitching. As a nonprofit, you're not always soliciting. You're not always fundraising. As a company, you're not always selling something. You have to make people feel like this is not just a transaction. You really want people to feel like this is a relationship that we're building. I think the number one way that you can do that, both as a business and a nonprofit, is to actually be curious about the other person. People love talking about themselves. People love talking about their dogs, love talking about their cats. They love talking about what they do, what their hobbies are. If you start by actually being interested in what these people like, you're much more likely to start a conversation, which is much more likely anyway to convert to a client or to a donor. So that's something that's what I consider stewardship. It's that long-term engagement, not just the automatic, thank you so much, we appreciate your business. Like that's automatic, that's not stewardship. It's the, what are you doing to continue the conversation after that transaction?
I think that's so important too. And I think a lot of people have the right intention when trying to build these conversations or have these conversations and build these relationships. I find myself though in the trap of always asking kind of the same question of like, so tell me what you do. Mm-hmm. What are your goals? What are your priorities? Right. So when I'm in a sales conversation, I've actually gone actively out of my way to, instead of saying, what are your priorities right now? Or whatever sales discovery question we've all come up with. And I've started just simply saying, so what are you working on these days? And I will get a wide range of responses. It'll be everything from the house that they're refinishing, that they're training a new puppy, to actual things that they're working on at work. And so I've started being very intentional when I meet people for the first time. Instead of saying, so what do you do? I say, so what are you working on these days? Because I don't want my entire life to be about what I do at work. I'm so much more than that. And our customers are too.
Exactly. And donors are too. And this is where I would train my fundraisers when they, so I did, let me back it up 2 seconds. I did street fundraising for 5 years. Those annoying people on the street that go like, hi, can you talk about Greenpeace for 2 days, like 2 minutes? Like that was my job for 5 years. It was for animal rights though, not Greenpeace. And I would always train my fundraisers that if you can't name me at least 2 to 3 personal things about the person after a conversation, you didn't do your job properly. You have to get people to feel like you're actually interested in them as people, not just as potential donors. So this could be exactly like you said. What are you working on? Like, do you have any pets at home? What's your situation? Like, what's your favorite animal? Like, it could be cheesy questions, obviously, that are either cause related or business related, but that allow you to get to know that person. And when you have those more curiosity questions, that leads to the best types of conversations that will allow people to open up, and that you'll actually be able to also be a better salesperson or a better fundraiser by actually helping them figure out like, oh, well, you know what? If that's what you're interested in, like, this is what you should be interested in, not that. Or like, you should be supporting this new campaign that we're doing, not that one. Or maybe a smaller monthly donation would be a better fit for your current situation than a larger gift at the end of the year. Or if you're selling something, the number of times where I'm like, you know what, after listening to you talk, you wanted this particular product, but I don't think that that's right for you. I would suggest doing that. So it also helps do a better transaction to actually be curious about these people.
I think also the importance of genuine curiosity, because I have people who clearly have heard that same message of like, be curious. And then you can just tell that they are curious with an end result. And let's be honest, if we're in a sales conversation or a fundraising conversation, we have an end goal here. But the means to that end is very different. I was talking with someone a while back and you could just tell that every question was a script in their head and they weren't really listening to the answer. They were like, well, I'll just let her talk. And the more she talks, the more she'll like me because people like to talk about themselves. And I immediately got the ick because I could just feel the vibe of like, you're not even really hearing what I am talking about. You're just quizzing me on my own interests. And so I think you have to be super genuine, super authentic. But I also think I want to point out for those listening, if you ever have someone who has ever held a fundraising role apply for a sales job, hire them. They are some of the best salespeople on the planet because to create genuine relationships, to get people to part with their money for something they may not see direct value from, that's a real skill.
It is. It's very hard, but also really easy in another way, in the sense of I always saw fundraising as I'm still a salesperson. I'm just selling a dream, as cheesy as that sounds. Right. I'm selling a future that we want to see and we all need to invest in that. And so the genuine authenticity is important. And that's why sometimes I don't connect with a donor. There's just, I don't know. I don't have anything to go on. And I'm going to use a dating example of, you know, sometimes people on like, especially online dating profiles, they like give you nothing to go on. And so your initial question is going to be so cheesy or like open-ended. So what do you do for work? Like, well, you know, like, because you don't have anything to go on. That's why you can't have a full-on script for your whole conversation. I think you should have a good opening. And then by knowing more about who you're talking to, your conversations should definitely shift. And give them space to talk without jumping to your next question on your list. Like if they're telling you something vulnerable, like my dog just passed away, like I'm not going to be like, oh, that's so sad. So we just launched a campaign. Like, don't be a dick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
You can't. Like, you have to be real. And sometimes it's not the right time. And you giving them that space to be like, you know what? Like, this might be, you know, a really difficult time for you. Like, would you prefer if I call you back in a couple of weeks or in a week or so, like to give you time to mourn? Like, giving them that space and that respect will probably gain you more points than you trying to secure the lead today. So I really agree with you on the authenticity component. And it's kind of like compliments, right? If you don't authentically think that person's dress look nice, like they're going to know. We're not dumb. Yeah. You will sense like, oh, they're being sarcastic or they're not being real. And that's just going to shoot you in the foot. So authenticity and being genuine, 100%. You need to have that.
And I think it's okay to admit, like, if you and a prospective customer or donor don't connect, like that's perfectly fine. And sometimes forcing that connection can actually make it worse. There's nothing wrong with letting a customer go or a donor go if they're not a right fit for your cause, your organization, or you personally. You can, you know, have someone else engage with them, have someone else interact with them. I also want to touch on your dating example. One of the best analogies someone once gave me for, you know, when you're like a baby seller and any entrepreneur, like you're trying to build your business. And there's a little bit of like that reek of desperation at the very beginning of your business as you're really trying to get it going. And we were talking about sales tactics and they're like, okay, imagine you were at a bar. And this was really before the apps were a thing. So imagine you were at a bar and there was just a dude standing in the middle of the bar, listing off his pedigree and talking about all of his accomplishments really loud. And he's not talking to anyone. He's talking to the whole bar. And then he ends with, okay, ladies, do you want some of this? How many women would walk up and talk to that man? Absolutely none of us. We would all be like, okay, can we get him out of here? Because I cannot be around this type of a person. And yet we do that as fundraising organizations. And we do that as companies. We stand in the middle of a bar in the middle of the marketplace and say, okay, who wants a piece of this?
Yep. And those who do say yes to that, like, be warned to really want to work with them like that.
Right. That's the girl you're like, babe, you need to see a therapist. Like, this is not going to work for you.
They're as desperate as you. Right. And so those are some warning signs. And so I'd love to touch on some little tips because I get it that you can't always have one-on-one conversations with every one of these people. And especially in fundraising, there's other tactics that you can use that are more automated that still can allow you to save time and not always have individual approaches that can still be very useful. My number one is segmentation. Like, you need to understand where are your leads coming from. Like, as a business person, I know each and every person on my newsletter list. Did they come from a webinar on a specific topic? Did they come from an event that I was at? So I can tag them. Are they from an animal conference? Maybe I can target them with an animal-related approach. Are they from an environmental-focused webinar? Having it feel like you're still talking to them based on knowledge that you have, even if it's a mass email, can still make them feel like you're talking to them. Like, oh my God, it's already been 2 weeks since this conference. Like, my personal favorite part of it was this. Like, I'd love to hear which one resonated most with you. I'm trying to see what was most important, or I'm trying to curate an offer for people that were at the conference. Just being genuinely curious, they'll still feel like, oh yeah, she was from the conference. You know, I know that they were in my session because if they signed up, because they were in my session. So you can really curate your conversation, even for mass emails, that'll make them feel like you're talking to them. So that's one of the things that I think is really important for stewardship, be it for clients, be it for donors, to really start organizing your data so you know who you're talking to.
And I think it's a fundamental, foundational step that a lot of people skip because it's hard work and it is tedious. And you're going to get it wrong more times than you get it right. And it's all trial and error. And it's just easier to be like, yeah, I'll just send a blast and see what happens. Like, well, it'll take me 10 minutes to push a button. But the impact of that on your long-term credibility, I think it can't be overstated.
No. And it goes beyond that. It's like you might be saving 10 minutes in doing it at first, but how much time are you going to have to catch up? And so how much is it costing you down the line? So it's often like an initial investment of setting it up. But I'm not saying you go and go to every person and individually segment them into different things. Like, if you haven't done it yet, like, okay, you can do that. But just as of now, at least, start having automations. Like, I don't do it myself. Like, I just have import, like, automations of, like, when it comes from this place, it gets tagged as this. Like, Zapier exists nowadays. Like, there are tools that will do this for you. It's just about mapping it out and figuring out also which segments are actually useful to you and which ones are just decorative and they're not going to be useful. So what's important to you? Do you want it to be for targeting specific products that you're going to pitch to them? Is it sectors? Is it like what profiles do you want and are actually useful to that you're going to actually use? Because a lot of times we just want all of the details when we don't really need them.
Absolutely. More data and more fields is not necessarily better. I always tell people it's like not all data is clean data and not all clean data is good data and not all good data is relevant and useful for you. You have to find the relevant and useful and ignore all of the rest, because otherwise you will just be buried under columns and columns and columns of stuff that doesn't really matter.
No, I couldn't agree more. And the thing is, like, I always tell people, like, just start somewhere. Like, start with one question or one field that allows you to have more of a curated conversation. Because depending on where they are also in your funnel, like, are they just like your mass, like your general newsletter list? Or are they people you've already had exploration calls with? Like, where are they on the strata, if we could say, of like the client or donor pyramid is also important. Because when they're higher up, I like having extremely personalized information in the comments of like, oh, they do this. They love skiing, or like they have three cats. Right. Oh, she's the crazy cat lady. Like, putting those individual notes is also important because you can't store everything in your brain. And also that doesn't allow you in a fundraising role to pass on information onto someone else. It's just not sustainable. So making sure you take notes is a very important part of stewardship, because you really don't want to confuse two donors and say, oh, I thought that was Michelle, but in the end, oh no, that was, you know, someone else. So taking notes, like, don't think that you're a superhero and that you can remember everything, is a very important part of stewardship as well.
Right. And you're not above taking notes either, because I've worked with people who are like, note taking, that's not for me. I'm big and important. And other people will take my notes for me. And it, you know, it comes down to, do you want to be effective? Do you want to do whatever it takes to be great? Then that's part of it, is making sure that you do the things, the basics, the necessities to turn a top of funnel relationship into something truly warm and friendly. And, you know, if you saw this person in real life, could you have a human conversation with them? Or are you only a person on the other side of a computer screen?
100%. And like, if I can give a little case study example of the value of stewardship before I move on, there's this guy, his name is Brian Jordan. He is a donor at one of my clients. And he started his monthly donations at $20 a month in January. And then I sent some personalized emails of like, hey, Brian, just saw that you made an additional donation to this particular campaign. Like, thank you so much. Like, I can't believe, like, not only do you give us every month, but you're also donating to this. Like, what's your story? Like, what are you doing? Why are you supporting us, this shelter in Albania? He sends this amazing story of he wants to retire to Albania and he's a photographer for a local shelter. We end up doing this email exchange, and then that becomes more of a conversation. A couple months later, he ups his donation to $50 a month. Continue the conversation. I've never asked him for another donation. He just did it on his own. We end up exchanging, and he follows the founder on Facebook. So because I engage with a lot of content, we ended up being suggested friends on Facebook. I post on my Facebook page, like personally, not even business-wise, being like, oh my God, we need some extra donations for this campaign. He donates. I'm like, Brian, stop donating to all of the fundraising campaigns. I'm going to have to block you from Facebook. I don't send you fundraising emails anymore because you keep on donating. He's like, I will find them and I will donate to them. There's nothing you can do. Not only that, he now gives $120 USD a month to this organization, not even a year after joining Firstly. I never once asked him to increase his donations. I never asked him once to make another gift. I actually purposefully hide emails from him. And yet he does it. Why? Because now we're friends. We shoot the shit. We're friends. So that's what's really the value. You will see your clients want to work with you more. They will buy things from you more because they like you. That's what you want. But it has to be real. It can't be fake.
And I think, too, people genuinely want to be a part of something that has meaning. And creating a space where they get to be something that's meaningful, be more than a transaction, a dollar sign, a donor, right? That is something that you cannot necessarily fake. It has to be real because people will feel it. If you're faking it, people will feel it. And I wish half of the organizations that send out emails and requests for donations would think that way, because yeah, if I donated a small amount of money and then I got any kind of genuine reach out of like, hey, tell us more about why you're donating, like what it is, in a way that doesn't feel like they're just scraping for, you know, a campaign tagline, I think I would feel more connected to it too. If people genuinely thought about me as more than a goal, a line item, a KPI on their campaign.
And it's hard. Like, I also understand nonprofits are often wearing, you know, nonprofit leaders are wearing so many hats. They're so tight. Like, I also understand there's often a capacity issue, but like, it's not about doing it necessarily for everyone. But what I try to do once or twice a week, ideally every day if I can, but at least once or twice a week, I go and I just choose a random donor. Doesn't matter how much they donated. And I just send them a, hey, I was just, you know, at the end of my day. And I just wanted to say, thank you so much for donating this week. Like, I would love to hear more about what motivated you to donate today instead of, you know, weeks ago. Like, what really motivated you? Anyways, I'm just here to chat. If ever you'd like to have a conversation, I'm here for you. Thank you so much for being part of this community. That's it. Short, sweet, not like with images and photos and blah, 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 blah.
A real email from a real person.
Exactly. Especially if there's like some time sensitive stuff. Sometimes I'm like, I was just closing out my week on Friday and I just saw that you just recently joined as a monthly donor. And I just wanted to say that made my weekend. I'm so happy to be ending on this positive note. Like, I want to wish you a happy weekend. Enjoy. Doesn't even have to have a question. Sometimes just that extra little thank you. And then they'll be like, oh, thank you so much. This means a lot to me. Like, I've never had this email. Like, I've never had someone reach out to me like this. Like, you never know what will turn out from that conversation. So just try as much as you can, respect your capacity, but do something.
So how do we find that line, right? Because at the end of the day, we're all trying to do something. I'm trying to grow my business. I'm trying to get more revenue. We're trying to fundraise more money for causes we care about. So how do we balance those tangible outcomes that are the reason we are showing up to work in the first place and this conversation that we're having about the humanity behind the dollar signs?
I think as much as I hate saying it, like there has to be some form of way of tracking the return on investment of your time. I think there are some times where I try certain strategies, like as a business owner, where I'm like, this is not working. And you have to listen to that. You have to stop doing things that are not working. If your emergency campaign stops working, like pay attention. The stress factor of like, we need more and just keep on doing the same thing because you're stressed is not going to work. So kind of like that guy screaming in the bar, like eventually he needs to shut up and sit down and maybe just observe for a little bit. And maybe someone's going to just quietly be like, hey, I haven't heard from you for a little while. You want to talk to that person. You want to reach out to people who are staying with you no matter what crazy things you're doing with your comms. Like the asking questions and going out and authentically being like, I'm not asking you for money. I'd just love to hear your thoughts on our organization. Do a survey. You know, you can do other ways. Anonymous surveys are great ways of getting people to understand your audience. Well, the fine line, I think, is also if you start seeing there's some triggers that you can see. Do you see your engagement dropping? Do you see your open rates dropping? That's one of my signs that I'm doing something wrong. When I start seeing that people are not opening my emails, I'm like, I'm annoying them. Or there's something I'm doing wrong. And then when I try something different and then I see it go back up again, I'm like, okay, I'm on the right track. So paying attention to some of your metrics is helpful. But having the qualitative conversations as well with your audience, I think is a great way of kind of testing out what's working and what's not.
You know, thinking of all the people that you know or aspire to know, who else is out there? Who else should we be listening to?
So one of my most inspiring podcasters as well as speakers on stewardship and especially the power of monthly giving. We live in a subscription economy. We need to get more onto the monthly giving bandwagon. And this is the same for businesses, getting retainers, getting that regular income coming in. Dana Snyder, she is incredible. She hosts the Monthly Giving Summit. She also has a podcast, Missions to Movement. So Dana Snyder, highly recommend. She's absolutely wonderful and super inspiring.
And if someone is hearing this and they're really connecting with you, they want to learn more, want to follow along, or just have a human conversation with you, where can they find you online?
For sure. So I'm a LinkedIn girl, 100%. I'm not a fan of the other social media platforms, but you can definitely find me on LinkedIn, Catherine Lacefield, very easy to find. If not, if you like learning about fundraising, you want to hear more things, I also do have a podcast, so you can find it on all other podcast platforms. So the Just Because podcast.
Incredible. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I loved this conversation, particularly because a lot of the people that we talk to come from that for-profit world. And I love having that conversation about the parallels and the lessons we can learn from nonprofit, even if it's quote unquote, not here to make money, it is here to do good in the world. And that takes cash. So thank you so much for joining the conversation. This has been really insightful.
I'm glad. Thank you so much for having me.